My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. I first heard about Ayurveda, the ancient Indian spiritual and healing wisdom, when I started practicing yoga in my late 30s. It sounded mysterious, far away, and something that would have little relevance to my 1980s New York lifestyle. As they say, with age and experience comes wisdom, and for those with open minds and open hearts, new pathways and possibilities. It also brings new opportunities to meet and learn from wonderful teachers. This evening on Destination Unlimited, we have the privilege and pleasure of welcoming one such teacher, Acharya Shunya, who will share her wisdom, heritage, and her new book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, A Complete Prescription to Optimize Your Health, Prevent Disease, and Live with Vitality and Joy. Shunya's lineage of sacred teachers and masters goes back centuries, and yet she feels it's her sacred duty and honor to put this knowledge into the hands of everyone today, especially people who have sought answers in modern medicine but need to find another way. Learning Ayurveda at the knee of her beloved grandfather, who was revered throughout India, Shunya has become one of the leading American practitioners and advocates. She's the founder of Vedika Global, a spiritual foundation dedicated to elevating consciousness, building community, and serving humanity by illuminating India's Vedic spiritual traditions of Ayurveda, Yoga, and Vedanta. She was named among the 100 Ayurveda and Yoga Trailblazers by Spirituality and Health magazine and is president of the California Association of Ayurvedic Medicine. She joins us tonight to share her wonderful story and wisdom. Please join me in welcoming Acharya Shunya. Welcome and good evening, Shunya.
Wonderful to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, I understand that Acharya is a title and that Shunya is your given name. Please share the meaning of that.
Yeah. Ayurveda is an ancient system of health and healing, and it teaches us how to be whole and wonderful and healthy and happy. And for thousands of years...
I'm sorry. I was talking about your name, the title. I'm sorry. I can fix this. That's okay. Now I understand that Acharya is a title and that Shunya is your given name. Please share the meaning of Acharya.
Acharya, Victor, is the literal meaning of this word in an ancient language, Sanskrit, means a master teacher. And this title is given rarely to those of us who are able to undergo rigorous training, and mine was 14 long years, of the ancient texts, which are coded in a rare language known as Sanskrit. And we become qualified to then train other teachers and healers of Ayurveda. And I'm happy that I have this title, and I spend all my life trying to live up to it.
Wonderful. Would it be appropriate to also call you a guru?
Yes and no, because in India, the guru title is really a matter of privilege between the master and the disciple. So it's a personal experience of the disciple. But an acharya is often a guru to many, but definitely an acharya to all, which means a sacred or special master teacher.
So acharya would be tantamount to calling someone a professor, as we would here in the West.
I would say so. And that also a professor who not only teaches theory, but also lives that knowledge or role models it specifically means. And that's what acharya means, because literally it means one who teaches through behavior.
Ah, by example.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Now, your early life was filled with physical challenges that Western medicine fell short of helping you with. Please explain.
When I was really young, Victor, maybe in my late teens, I started experiencing some lower back pain. And then by the time I was in my late teens, the pain had increased so much that I couldn't walk on many days, and I had to use a walking stick. Many, many decades later, I found out that I have an immunological challenge. I have a genetic aberration, and people with my condition often end up in wheelchairs, etc. But I'm just so happy to share with you and our listeners today that the same system of healing and health, Ayurveda, on which I have written a book, helped me and became a life-changing moment when, thanks to using Ayurveda, I could walk again. I remember very poignantly a day, maybe I was 17 or 18, and I was just having a bad day, and I was crying to myself. And my grandfather, who I call Baba, who was a renowned healer and a saint-like person in northern India, came up to me, stroked my hair, and looked at me, inquiring what happened. And I looked at him and kind of stated the obvious, I can't walk. And that's when he smiled and said, you can't walk? Why not fly instead?
Mm.
What he was really, Victor, trying to say is, why focus on what you want to overcome? Why not focus on what you want to become? And though I had been studying theory for a while, that time when I was pushed in a corner really became a time when I really truly internalized the wisdom. And I, you know, lived those lifestyle practices of applying oil in my body or eating certain foods or utilizing certain garden herbs for teas, etc. And, you know, I turned 52 days ago, and I'm happy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And it's a birthday where I'm walking, I'm running, I'm leading my full life. And the science of epigenetics, which is a recent discovery, now says that our thoughts and our lifestyle choices probably determine our reality and not just our genes. But I think thousands of years ago, this knowledge was known, and I've been putting it into practice for several decades now.
Absolutely. Now, many of us have been blessed with wise and loving grandparents, but you were blessed with a lineage of masters and teachers, especially your beloved Baba, your grandfather, who was a saint. What was it like growing up with such a wonderful man, and what did you learn from him?
It was interesting that karma or destiny decided that I would be born in a family which has been disseminating this great wisdom of Ayurveda and its sister science, yoga, and another spiritual science known as Vedanta, which talks about a common universal self, that we are all really connected at the source. And we've been doing this for thousands of years, really as, you know, social activism more than anything else. And to be born in that family, I had a routine childhood. I would climb trees and I would, you know, have fun with my pets. But to be born in that family, I mean, what was nature trying to tell me? What was that big arrow that I was being, you know, shown, like which way to walk? And, you know, I'm so glad that that knowledge is probably in, you know, in my deepest consciousness. And that is why it's been easy to be an ambassador for it at a global level right now. And growing up with a master teacher, a man of few words, but a man who lived with fierce conviction is something. It's special because we often walk around with people who are, you know, who may be elder to us in age, but they are clouded or they are suffering or they are confused themselves, or they've, you know, they're asking questions or their life's going around in circles. But to be with this affectionate but calm person who I watched was peaceful and self-possessed and dignified through all the ups and downs and continued to believe in that birth, that health is our birthright, and continued to awaken hope in so many, and himself lived a positive, truly beneficial life to the rest of the planet, I think it was just real good luck, Victor. And I just have to say that when I am lost, or when I used to find that I couldn't find the light within me, even recalling his face was enough for me to wake up and enter a new paradigm. So these role models are so critical for us. And I was fortunate to have one.
Absolutely. What a blessing. I've been blessed with many wonderful mentors and teachers, but two in particular, my own grandfather, who was a spiritual and a man and a mystical man, and who was significantly older because my dad was older than my mom. He looked upon me as someone he could speak to as a contemporary or a peer rather than as a child, because he recognized in me something that perhaps other people didn't recognize me, including my own parents at the time. And I learned so much from him, and he was such a wonderful man. And later on, I had the privilege and blessing of going to the New Seminary of New York in the mid to late 1990s, and had a wonderful teacher, the founder of the school, Rabbi Gelberman. And he used to share a story about how he'd wake up in the morning and he'd feel tremendous pain in his legs, and he'd reach his hands up to the sky and say, "Thank you, God, for that pain." And people would say, "Why are you thanking God for being in pain?" He said, "Because it means I'm alive. If I didn't feel anything, I'd be dead. So even though I feel the pain, it's an opportunity to go out and do good in the world another day." So I had those wonderful teachers, and what a blessing for all of us to have teachers like that.
That is so beautiful. That is incredible that he would have pain, and yet he would be awake to an inner space which is always healthy, apparently, clearly.
Absolutely, absolutely. My guest this evening on Destination Unlimited, Acharya Shunya, whose book is called Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, A Complete Prescription to Optimize Your Health, Prevent Disease, and Live with Vitality and Joy. And we'll be back with Shunya and more of this wonderful wisdom after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Acharya Shunya, who's the author of the new book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, A Complete Prescription to Optimize Your Health, Prevent Disease, and Live with Vitality and Joy. So Shunya, prior to the break, we were talking about Ayurveda. What is the actual origin and definition of Ayurveda?
Ayurveda is a Sanskrit word. Sanskrit is a language that is pretty ancient, and not many people speak it in India today, but they do keep it alive, and it's a revered language because a lot of the sacred wisdom from India is coded in this language, and the ancient scriptures and texts are in this language. So it's a scholar's language. And if you look at the word Ayurveda, Victor, then it can be broken up into two root words, Ayur and Veda. And Ayurveda refers to life, and Veda refers to wisdom. So really, our listeners should know that Ayurveda is the wisdom of life. It's a perennial teaching that really teaches us or connects us to nature and to spirit, and gives us a beautiful prescription of a 24-hour day and a 12-month cycle that we can live in alignment with nature and not, you know, in separation from it or alienation from it. And according to Ayurveda, this brings about balance. And these teachings are pretty detailed, I have to say, from what time you wake up to what time you go to bed to what can you use for, you know, your hygiene products, what can you eat in which season. But at the underlying impetus to all of Ayurveda is balance and, you know, and connecting with our own deeper self. And Ayurveda has become recently popular worldwide. It's gone beyond the boundaries of geographical India into just about every country. And it's enjoying a worldwide resurgence because it works, it keeps it simple, and people benefit from Ayurveda from, you know, severe conditions to even terminal conditions. People are improving, because it always helps to return to Mother Nature. And there is something else that gets activated, an inner intelligence that the ancient sages and seers who gave us Ayurveda had predicted. And they had said that health is infinite. It is not a fixed commodity, and that we just have to return to it again and again and evoke it from within. And I love that.
Absolutely. Now, what is the origin? How old is Ayurveda?
I would say at least 7,000 years old. There's actually evidence that there's at least 7,000 years old. And the best part, Victor, is that it never was really lost. In the Indian subcontinent and the surrounding countries like, Nepal, Tibet, Sri Lanka, parts of, you know, Bangladesh, all of these countries, it was, you know, a region. Ayurveda has been alive. And, you know, it's now taught in universities in India. And there are more than 40 colleges of Ayurveda in America alone, all over Europe, South America. So Ayurveda is growing everywhere. And the beauty is that whether it was the ancient times, medieval times, modern or current times, Ayurveda has been around in different and pretty mainstream formats. It's only now that it's called alternative. But for a long time, it enjoyed global hegemony. And there is very clear historical evidences that it was the mother science that influenced Greek medicine, Tibetan medicine, Chinese medicine, Arabic concepts of medicine. So it's been there, it's still here, and it's becoming very popular.
How is it recorded in history? How did it come down to us?
Yeah, so for a long time, it was oral. And when it was oral, not because of lack of script, because script's been in India for a long time, but it was considered oral because it was so sacred and such sensitive information that it had to be carefully passed on from the master to the disciple, just like I learned from my teacher. And, you know, the disciple was also simultaneously supported in having a great character and beautiful health. So they were like living receptacles of that knowledge. And they had, you know, a lot of dharma or ethics around it. So there was compassion and universal goodness that had to be a basic attitude before the master gave this knowledge to the disciple, knowing that the disciple would misuse it or just convert it into a source of income and somehow deprive others from having it, you know, or becoming a magic person and not, you know, really giving the knowledge freely. And so for a long time, it was deliberately kept oral and deliberately kept within families where the knowledge would be passed on carefully. And much later, it got, you know, encoded in, you know, palm leaf scripts and also copper plates. It was inscribed. And even after that, it came on natural handmade paper. And now you can even order those ancient texts on Amazon.com. Mm. So it's just been a beautiful journey.
And palm leaves to digital technology. What a wonderful tradition. Wonderful, wonderful.
And you can find remnants of all of these in the Indian archives and museums. Like, you can find those ancient scriptures.
And yeah. How did the original masters obtain this wisdom?
So that's the best part. You know, it is said that Ayurveda is another Sanskrit word, is Aparushiye. It doesn't have human origin. So clearly these meditating saints or sages or seers rather, because they didn't belong to a religion. They belonged to humanity. And they were like meditating on the highest reality, the common reality. And it is said that they were revealed this knowledge and they heard it and they saw it in their inner mind. And then they, you know, received it and passed it on to their sincere students. And since then, it's been a continuation. So even as I'm talking about it, and if somebody's hearing it for the first time about Ayurveda, it's really emanating from those ancient times when the sages were probably meditating in Mount Everest or something. And it's just beautiful, those beginning stories about these beings who really meditated in compassion for all of humanity.
And are these wisdom teachings in a fixed orthodoxy, or do they change with the times?
There is orthodoxy in the sense that the principles were never needed to be changed, but Ayurveda is not associated with orthodoxy in the term of a religion or a region or even a food. There's not even a box around food or anything like you have to be vegetarian or vegan or you can't eat meat. It's just more about what is right based on principles. So I'll give an example. So if you live in an altitude, these would be the better foods. If you live by the sea, these would be the better foods. If you live in hot desert climate, these would be the better foods. This would be a better lifestyle because it's so dry. So it would be great to, you know, embalm your body with coconut oil or eat more oily foods. And the lifestyle and the sacred practices were all highly liberal and open and really meant for all of humanity, because in India alone, there are all kinds of, you know, people, religions, practices, and from the Mount Everest to the ocean, Indian Ocean, to the desert climate. So it was applicable for the whole world, and I really love that. So it had a core structure of principles, which, Victor, have not had to have any change in the 7,000 years. And what a relief in the current climate of the medicine, which keeps issuing embarrassing recalls, saying, so sorry. You know, we shouldn't have really put that drug out. Or, oops, estrogen ultimately, you know, is not a great therapy, replacement therapy. So Ayurveda has not had to make any of those recalls, and people keep benefiting from Ayurveda, whether they have MS or ulcerative colitis or they have diabetes or asthma, just naturally without side effects. And so the orthodoxy is welcome but has to be understood.
7,000 years maintaining the same basic foundational core principles.
Yes.
No disclaimer commercial saying, by the way, Ayurveda may be hazardous to certain people under certain conditions. You don't have to have that. There's no liability with Ayurveda. There's no disclaimers in the pharmaceutical companies can't put their mitts on it. It is a living wisdom meant to last, and even has transcended all of the forms of communication from oral all the way down to Amazon.com. That's pretty amazing.
Well, you've just put it so beautifully. I should just use your voice to make an infomercial for Ayurveda.
You know, what's fascinating to me is that archaeologists are just starting in the last few years to uncover evidence of civilizations that go beyond what we originally thought in terms of the number of years that they were in existence and lost civilizations. And yet this technique and this wisdom has survived in its original form without modification, brought forward all of these years. And you've got to think that there's a wonderful reason behind that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I think we're just so fortunate that there are some ancient cultures, such as China and such as in India, where there is an unbroken tradition. Because whenever we look for, you know, medicine that's indigenous or that has arisen from the earth by a people, we're always looking for, you know, a great tradition versus a little tradition. A little tradition are those where you literally have to, you know, look for clues and put things together retrospectively. But great traditions, there are only two in the world, and that is Chinese medicine and Indian medicine, Ayurveda, where there has been just no break. It's full, it's rich, it's here, and people can benefit from it, and people are benefiting from it. Maybe we can talk about it in a bit if I can share a few case studies.
Absolutely. We're going to do that in the next segment of the show. But before we close this segment out, you share a wonderful story in your book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, about you and your Baba and these wonderful dogs who would march in procession. Please share that with our listeners. What a touching story.
Oh, we would just walk to the river every day in the morning. There was a river that comes down from the great Mount Everest through our little town, and we would meditate there. Early morning dawn, we would walk up there, and there were these five dogs, street dogs, who would walk up in this silent procession with us and be with us and witness us and then walk us back. And I really felt that they were like these spiritual partners to my journey. And I remembered them as I was writing the book of how they would, you know, walk behind us quietly. Really special.
What a wonderful picture and a wonderful memory. And obviously they were admiring and following and immersed in the energy, the beautiful energy that you and Baba were putting out as you were walking. Such a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. And my guest this evening, Acharya Shunya, author of the book Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom. Please tell our listeners how they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Absolutely. I mean, people can find me on acharyashunya.com. Acharyashunya is my name.com. And then my book is available everywhere, from Whole Foods to Pharmaca to Amazon to just about every online place where you can buy books.
We'll be back with more of your wisdom on Om Times Radio after these words.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Acharya Shunya, author of Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, a complete prescription to optimize your health, prevent disease, and live with vitality and joy. So in this book, you offer some very practical and doable techniques to improve health on all levels. What called you to write this book?
I have been teaching and healing people for now almost 3 decades. My first 2 decades and a little more until about age 24 was spent with Baba, my teacher, my grandfather, witnessing him, Victor. And I noticed how ulcers were disappearing, depression was lifting, cancers were, you know, just completely, you know, resolving. And I used to think that, wow, this is great, of course, but he's a spiritually realized being. But I also noticed how exact was his knowledge of this science and how he made sure and he gave some food recommendations or, you know, certain changes that were instrumental in the healing process. And then about, you know, 10 years ago, I established a school of Ayurveda in California, in Northern California. And right around that time, I also started several charitable clinics. And since then, I've been helping hundreds of people with the same wisdom. And they don't even have to buy any herbs or anything. It's just lifestyle modification, incorporation of certain spices, and following certain routines in the season. And I noticed that person after person was reclaiming more and more health, no matter what was their age, no matter which condition or what stage of life they came to me, advanced condition or beginning or healthy, they just got better. What was good got better. What was better became optimum. And what was not doing well, you know, there was hope, and suddenly there was unexpected results. So this was like, whoa, I'm onto something here. This thing, you know, because when you do something on your own, your confidence just starts building. And then I'm a slow burner, and it took me about 2 decades, but then my conviction grew even more and more and more. And finally, I turned 50 2 days ago. So it was important to me this year that I released the book and I let everybody know. Maybe this is a good time, Victor, to share about at least one case study from the book, which are real people that you can meet if people came to my school in California.
Please do.
You know, there was Brittany Barrett. She was 22, and I met her while giving a lecture somewhere in, you know, Bay Area, California, and she was crying a lot. And afterwards, I said, what happened? And she said, oh, I loved your message that the body is never really broken. Health is our birthright, and it's just a matter of bringing it back to balance with nature and foods and spices. So I'm going to try this. I said, go for it. But, you know, she, a few days later, she was so inspired. She joined me at a retreat, and she told me her story that she was on 18 drugs, prescription drugs, because she was having ulcerative colitis. And she was, every time she went to the bathroom, it would be full of blood. And she was having 22 bowel movements a day. She had moved in with her parents, and she was, you know, told that she'd have to be on medicine all her life because this is a immunologically advanced condition. Well, you know, she was so miserable, but she was so eager at the same time. I was with my colleagues, you know, we all worked together in my school, and we gave her a prescription of 5 simple things. Literally, we wrote it on a napkin because we were eating meal together. And so we gave it on a napkin for her, what 5 things to do. And believe it or not, Victor, within a few weeks, 8 weeks, she says, or 6 to 8 weeks, her bowels had reduced from 22 to 8 a day. And within a few more months, she was having perfect, beautiful bowel movements, no blood. She started regaining her weight that she had lost. She got off of antidepressant, and gradually she got off of everything. And today, even if people do a search on her name, they would find her and this exact same story. Now she has become a healer and a teacher in her own right with her own following. So these are just examples of people recovering with Ayurveda's wisdom. It's 7,000 years old. It's tried and tested. And of those 5 things, for example, I had mentioned a recipe made with yogurt, 1 pot yogurt, 4 pots water, and a few spices, and that recipe is in my book. I have about almost 30 recipes in the book which are tried and tested, and they evoke health. And that recipe you can't find at an Indian restaurant because these are medicinal recipes from the ancient tradition that can only be handed down carefully, you know, through a master teacher. So these kind of things I gave her. And so when she would drink that recipe, it would actually have a healing effect on her colon. Or, for example, I also told her to, you know, gift herself fresh flowers every day. Now, it sounds almost corny. Is this medicine? But, you know, I told her to give flowers every day to herself, to her healthy self. She just had to uncover that healthy self. She didn't have to fight for it. She just had to expect it and reclaim it. So these 5 simple things that I gave her, you know, made all the difference. So my book is full of such real people case studies that, you know, it's just wonderful. And since I had, this is just one story. I don't know. I have hundreds, several hundred such miraculous stories in my life all around me. Now I have become a Baba for my community.
Mm.
And then it was naturally time to write the book, and it's a gift from my heart. And people should not be afraid because they can't pronounce it, or they've not heard of it, or it's from India, because don't let language or culture come in the way. It's universal knowledge. And I've been, you know, living and working here in the United States for the last 3 decades. So I've written it for my people here to make it as accessible and as 21st century friendly as possible. But the book is not dumbed down or diluted. I wanted to give the real taste of the real stuff all the way from 7,000 years ago.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's talk about some of the things that you share in the book. Now, we know that many systems of health and well-being stress the importance of the daily cycles of the sun and the moon and our personal attunement to those cycles. How does Ayurveda address these cycles?
Yeah, Ayurveda said, well, the sun and moon are not cosmetic out there just to make us feel good. But they are definitely having an impact on our physiology, our psychology, our immunology. And in fact, none of these are really separate, right? It's not a different system. All of these are part of a super system. They're all connected, body, mind, senses, and soul. And all of them are connected to the all, the planets, the solar system, and, you know, the amount of light and dark that we receive. So we are like natural beings, and we have created our own virtual world, and we have our light bulbs, and we have our technology. So we just don't really care. But probably it's time to care, because humanity has become more sick over time rather than less sick. You know, our technology is not helping us. We're just developing more and more diseases. And apparently what's helping is a return back to these chronobiological rhythms, Victor, that are born because of the Earth orbiting around its own axis, which creates a 24-hour chronobiological rhythm. And then a 12-month cycle, another rhythm that's born because of the Earth orbiting around the sun. And these great cycles affect every plant, every blade of grass, every bird, every animal. Similarly, it affects us. Now, what do we do about that? So Ayurveda doesn't want us to just start worshiping it. Ayurveda says this is science. So now you go back and look at what effect the light, amount of light has on your gut. So probably in the middle of the day when the sun is at its best or its highest point, that's the time we should have our heaviest meal rather than at night. So when I've had made people that switch, they eat their heaviest meal at daytime, not in the evening when the family meets, they start losing gobbles of weight, for example. So we take a lot of decisions based on these chronobiological rhythms, when to sleep, when to wake up, which food is appropriate for which season. And, you know, you can cherry pick. It doesn't have to be a PhD around Ayurveda. You can take simple things and apply them to your life, and health starts improving. So I totally agree with you that probably this teaching is not unique to Ayurveda, and probably all ancient masters, because they were masters, knew the human being and our health and joy is connected to nature and to this universe and to effects that are happening in the cosmos. But the credit that I give to Ayurveda is that it then went and researched it, observed it, and gave us very conclusive teaching, which is very mature and very seasoned. And it can has been now applied all over the world, and it gives predictable similar results.
You know, it's fascinating that you say that, because I've sort of lived this in a natural way. In my late 50s, I'm 64 now, in my late 50s, I started recognize that I needed to lose weight, and I started a number of programs to lose weight. And I used to have trouble getting up in the morning, and now I'm a very early riser, at least an hour before dawn. Without the need for an alarm clock, I'm up automatically, and I find that my energy level and outlook are vastly improved over my younger days. And now you advocate early rising. How does that help us?
Early morning rising, I found research now, Victor, that is, you know, modern research is, it's amazing how it is conclusively proving everything that Ayurveda has been teaching. I'm just shocked. Every day I'm finding some neurologist or psychiatrist or quantum physicist now making this declaration that's already clearly out there in Ayurveda. So one, all superminds are connected, and I'm so happy that I'm advocating Ayurveda. But clearly, when we wake up in the morning, there is something that happens to the brain as we look at the darkness diffusing gradually and giving way to light. Apparently, this phenomena of waking up and it's relatively dark and then allowing the sky to fill up with more and more light and being part of that phenomena with awakened eyes and not asleep, it has a huge antidepressant effect on our brains. And so we don't just get depressed again. And number two, it has an enlightening and awakening effect in terms of our deeper creativity and intelligence. I did some research and I found out that the best literary works, or whatever has been our best of the best of creativity in terms of literature all over the world, somebody had done the research of finding out when they were written, and they were written in the early morning hours, Victor. Can you believe that?
That's fascinating.
I know. I could include that research in my book because I found it later, but I'm planning to write a blog on it. So, I mean, it's like amazing. And so I wrote a whole chapter on awakening early, how to wake up early, how to sleep better so that we do awaken, what to do next. So, you know, it's beautiful. And it's, you know, people are sending me emails from as far as Japan and all over the world as they read my book and they make changes and feel happy.
My guest is Acharya Shunya. She's the author of the new book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, and we'll be back with more of this wonderful information after these words from the Om Times Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Acharya Shunya, author of the new book, I'm going to cut that out. Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom. Now, we were talking about some of the things that you mention in your book. We talked about getting up early in the morning. Now, we also say, there are people who say, we are what we eat. And in your book, you take that one step further by saying, when you eat can also have a great effect on energy and well-being. Please explain.
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad that finally we're beginning to be cognizant of we are what we eat, because not to bash modern medicine, because I appreciate that it can take care of things when we urgently need it. But, you know, modern medicine often does not pay any attention to diet at all. For example, the case of Brittany Barrett, who had ulcerative colitis, she asked for food recommendations, and she was told that food does not make a difference. And then with Ayurveda, she heals completely due to the food that we, you know, made her choose and select certain foods and avoid certain foods. And that made a huge difference within a few weeks itself. So we are what we eat, but then we are also what we digest. Because if you don't manage to digest food, then according to Ayurveda, we might become toxic. We might carry what we have inadequately or partially digested or not managed to digest. So hence the timing of the food is really important, because if we eat at random times, we confuse our metabolism. If we eat a very late night meal after sunset, that's going to become a liability for us. If we constantly eat, which is like very popular nowadays, snacking, it was not always popular, but it's become more popular, especially with the rise of the snacking industry, so to say. But, you know, the more we eat, constantly eat, we barely digested one batch of food and another one arrives. So it's a very confusing scenario, and we can have heartburn and indigestion. And in general, it leads to, you know, disturbing of our cells. It can lead to future cancers and a lot of ill health in general, according to Ayurveda. So timing of the food is super important. And we really prefer the heaviest meal in the daytime, lighter meals in the morning and at evening. And if we do, we want a snack, one or two snacks. If we do want them, because we feel strongly hungry and not just because we read an article about it. So because we feel hunger, hunger is important. I was recently listening to a scientist talk about what hunger means. And hunger means that your body and your physiology is ready. But we eat by the clock, or we eat out of habit, or we eat just because we have those, you know, tasty food next to us, like peanuts or something, and or almonds, and we toss them into our mouth. I must snack. But instead, if you're really hungry, then we should even fix our snack timings. Like for me, at 4 p.m., I will go for something sweet or warm and salty in a small amount, and it's fixed for me. And this predictability of timing brings a predictability to the machine of our metabolism, and that has a highly balancing effect on everything. So that's why I have a whole chapter on these rules. And we have the story of Tracy Cunningham, where, you know, she was suffering from hives, so many hives that she had to go to the ER a couple of times a year, and she was always on Benadryl because she was told she's allergic. But all she used to do was eat at random times and snack a lot of the time. So when she met me, that's all I did. I fixed her meal times and I removed all snacking unless she was really hungry. And of course, you know, Ayurveda has more things to say around what to eat, when to eat, which is all in the book. But she made only changes at the food level, and she followed the timing very correctly. And we have her story in there. She lost 40 pounds. She got over all hives, and her skin used to be puffed and cracked and red and blemished. And we have a photo of her where in a film that we had an award-winning filmmaker make on her story, where she turned into a beautiful diva because she lost her weight, her skin normalized, the blemishes disappeared. What was all that? That was just the food that her body was carrying around, because it couldn't break it down. It could neither eliminate it like poop. It could neither convert it into cells and energy, because it was not what the body could deal with. It was just hanging out. And when food hangs out, it's toxic. Absolutely. And those toxins then disturb. They can go anywhere. If they go in the skin, they cause skin problems. If they go in our arteries, they clog them. If they go in our teeth, they create plaque. So that's why timing is really important. And these rules, I didn't make them up. Again, they're 7,000 years old. They're working.
You know, in American culture, we've been raised on drinking cold and iced beverages since I was a kid, I remember. Now, you advocate against this. Why so?
Not only me, all of Asia drinks warm water. I think, but Ayurveda explains why. It has to do with our digestive efficiency. And in Ayurveda, the digestive fire, or the whole process, has been compared to a flame. For, you know, common sense understanding, Ayurveda clearly doesn't expect there to be a flame there. In fact, it talks about enzymes and all of that, but it compares it to a flame. for ease of understanding, and says that if you drink a lot of cold water with cold eyes, then you are, you know what you're doing, you're extinguishing that flame. But if you drink that warm water, then like increases like, you know, that's physics. And so the heat particles of the warm water are going to add to your metabolism. So, you know, I'm so surprised when I read books which say that to improve your metabolism, drink cold water, make it work harder, as if it's a naughty boy or a girl and we have to like train it, you know. I'm so surprised. If you look at physics, Ayurveda was talking physics, it's like, hey, heat plus heat is equal to more heat. Heat plus cold is not equal to more heat. So if you want more thermal energy, but you need to have more heat. And so hot water is an easy way to have it, a cheap, inexpensive way to have it. And cold water, you know, sometimes in summer, we don't want to drink hot water. We want to drink cool water. And even then, we shouldn't go for refrigerated water or ice cold water, because that shocks the system. You know, none of us, no animal drinks ice except the human animal, because we have machines that can make ice for us. And so what, you know, the way we want to cool water according to Ayurveda is to put water in a pitcher and then stick it in near a window which catches the moonlight, and drink that water the next morning, or add rose petals to it, which are cooling. Or, you know, so these beautiful things are more naturally cooling, and they actually satisfy the thirst versus ice cold water, where your mouth is always parched and always dry. Some people might notice that they're non-stop drinking water, and they'll tell me, oh, Shunya, my mouth is so dry. But instead, when they drink the naturally cool water, they're better. So in most of the around the year, when it's cooler, we should drink warmer water. We should also drink warmer water no matter what is the weather, if we have a compromised metabolism, if we have digestion issues, if we have stomach pains, if we have constipation, then in such cases, sipping warm water, not super hot, just warm, is helpful. And then, you know, I went ahead and quoted some studies too, just for those minds which always like to have a study to convince them. 7,000 years wisdom is sometimes not enough. So then I was fortunate to find some studies that exactly validate what Ayurveda has been saying, where they did a research on orange juice, and they looked at orange juice of room temperature, warm temperature, and orange juice that was warm that was digested fastest with maximum efficiency. So there you go, you know, QED.
Absolutely. Now, in the West, those of us who seek massage therapy usually shower before the massage. Now, in Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, you say we should massage with oils before bathing. How does that work?
Yeah, so when we oil our body, there is in the early morning chapter, I've talked about waking up in the morning, using the restroom, then warming the oil gently in a crock pot or, you know, in a bottle which is standing in hot water, a pool of hot water. We can use sesame oil, you know, untoasted sesame oil, or coconut oil, or a couple of other natural oils, and mix them up. They all have medicinal qualities that I talk about, and then gently massage your body with the oil, and, you know, as if you're caressing yourself, and then it takes 5-7 minutes, and then take a warm shower. So according to Ayurveda, once again, when you put hot shower after the oiling, and due to the heat, it's again physics, our pores open up, and when the pores open, there's a layer of oil on the skin, and that oil gets sucked right in. And that's what we want. That oil is medicinal, and we want that oil to enter deeper layers of our skin. And that's why we first apply oil, and then we apply the heat. And so can you see how they are working in making sure it's not just an external sheen that we want. We want that oil to go in.
Makes so absolute sense. Absolute sense. What would you like readers to take away from Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom?
I would like them to take away hope. I would like them to know that, you know, I'm somebody who has written the book not because I had a bunch of information that I wanted to just, you know, somehow catch on pieces of paper and put out a book. I am conveying to you my conviction. I'm conveying to you my own miracle that I couldn't walk, but I'm walking. I am bringing to you the hopes and joys and happy surprises of so many people from people suffering from MS to high blood pressure to renal failure to just about every condition where they have benefited from Ayurveda. And sometimes healing, Victor, doesn't have to be as complex as we are told. It doesn't have to be so high tech. It doesn't have to be so expensive. It's actually very simple, and it's waiting for us. And maybe we can go back to the voices of ancient beings and listen to their compassionate teachings, and one change at a time, create and uphold a legacy of health.
Wonderful wisdom from my guest, Acharya Shunya. Please tell our listeners how they can find your book and more about this wonderful work that you do.
Please find me on my website, acharyashunya.com, acharyashunya.com. And you can also find ways to study with me. I teach both online and, of course, on site. So people study with me from all over the world. And I hope that you can look for my book, enjoy it, and write to me what you found helpful. And the book is available everywhere, from Barnes & Noble to Amazon to Whole Foods to Pharmaca. And just about every major bookstore and bookseller has my book, Ayurveda, Lifestyle Wisdom.
What a delight to have you with us this evening. And there's so much more information we need to share. You have to join us again in the future.
I would love to. I enjoy talking to you, Victor. Thank you.
And thank you. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week, everyone.